SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
It's In This League time. It starts right now with your boys, Bogman and the Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at Is It The Welsh. And welcome in to a three-hour edition of In This League right here on Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Week three of the NFL. Baseball's coming to a close. The damn NBA playoffs. I mean, not that you would know, not that anybody is watching it because of football right now, but the baseball playoffs are insane. Hockey's going on. It is, we went from nada to
a lot
holy
of
holy crap. Holy crap. It's relatively amazing right now on the swing of everything. It's a very busy week, Boggs. Week three is very important in the NFL. Baseball coming to a close. It's a very, very important sports week.
Yeah, we have to see what NFL players survive week three. You know what I mean? So after 14 blown ACLs or whatever, 14% of the blown ACLs for 1 year happened in one weekend. That's kind of
nuts. It's like Fall Guys. I don't know if you've, do you know what Fall Guys is? Have I told you about that?
I know what a Fall Guy is. Chris Carter told me if I go to the NFL, I should have one.
No, not the same kind. It's another, you know, like there was Fortnite. That was everybody's excitement. The game ended up becoming Fall Guys, and I have it. I actually have it right here because I've been playing it with my kid because one of our great listeners and dear friends is the better way to put it. Jag had gifted me a computer. I got set up and, you know, we finally had a PC. So the kid's like, let's play this game. And what it is, I'm going to do a horrible job of explaining it. It's like these little bean characters that have, you know, legs and arms and whatever. And 40 or 60 people start online, real people. And each round is a race. And you just have to, a certain amount of people can, you know, make it alpha race one. The others are eliminated. Then it goes to race two. But it's hilarious because guys are falling and getting slapped everywhere. And at the end, when the guys get eliminated, they all get pushed off a ledge. And I was like, oh, that's like the NFL. That's like week two was like round two of Fall Guys. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah,
it was
sounds like a great lesson for kids. If you don't win the race, you die. So
essentially, they're cute little bean characters. That's how it goes. So, you know, round one of Fall Guys, a lot of people make it through, like week one of the NFL. Round two is a little bit more serious. That's what just happened in week two. So week three, we got to get down to the nitty gritty. So we're going to be talking about that today. We're actually going to talk a little bit of baseball as well. And Casey Bubba coming up in hour three. So don't go anywhere in this league. We're coming back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
Welcome back in this league. It's Bogman of the Welsh. Come and check us out over at InThisLeague.com if you guys are bored, not busy, want to support your boys. We got tons and tons of cool stuff. We got comedy secret shows that are only available to our Patreon members. We've got GroupMe rooms. We've got tons of extra content, live streams. You can watch the Thursday night with Bogman, Thursday night football with Bogman on one of our streams there. So come and check it out. InThisLeague.com will take you to the Patreon. You could sign up today. We would appreciate that, Boggs.
I'm having issues with Thursday night football, not for doing it. I mean, and I'm going to have the NFL game always on the main screen, but my second screen, because we have, we got conference finals games. We also have UABs playing South Alabama for college football. You know, I talk a lot about college football and college fantasy football. So I'm having a struggle, one of the Diamondbacks last games going on. So I'm having a struggle to what to put on that second TV, Welsh. So
maybe Fall Guys.
Maybe I should be playing Fall Guys during Thursday Night Football. It is Jacksonville and Miami, so who knows? So.
It's a good game to maybe potentially do that. Well, and people are listening to this, it already happened. So
of course, yeah.
Thank you for breaking the
Bubba and I are breaking it down in hour three because we've already watched it. Yeah, what a game, too, right? Ooh. It was amazing. Sucks that DJ Chark was out, but whoo, all those James stats Robinson. And players were great.
Yep. James Robinson. No, man, what happened there was what a story. James Robinson.
What a story. I can't wait to get
positively
to it,
or negatively. It's right. It goes either way. What an immense thing. You know, I think there's so much football to talk about, but we are on the final couple of days of baseball. You know, and two things have really stood out to me that I wanted to ask you about. Playoffs are going to be weird. There's so many damn teams that are going to be involved in it. We've already got six teams in the AL that are clinched, four in the NL. It's just going to be kind of a wild ride, especially that they're going to drop in a bubble. But as you're thinking about the end of the season, the two biggest things I don't think I expected from either the start of the season or give me a couple weeks into the season were these two. One is the immense fall that Luis Robert has experienced from the unanimous rookie of the year in most people's eyes. The guy is hitting sub 230 right now. And there was a time where he was hitting over 300, you know, I want to say for the first couple of weeks, and he's striking all the ball hard. And, you know, it was kind of a walk away situation where Luis Robert looked like he was going to take that rookie of the year award home with him. And Kyle Lewis obviously had something to say about it. And Baseball America just posted an article where they said it's not really close and it's Kyle Lewis. And a lot of people think Kyle Lewis could walk away with this. Thursday, Luis Robert got the day off to try to get right, but there's still only a couple games to get right. And that's one of those I didn't expect. I mean, these guys go through these struggles. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised Fernando Tatis Jr., who was one of the most incredible players to start the year in fantasy, ended up becoming like number one in most people's eyes. He's had a pretty extensive fall off in this back run of this season. These things happen, but the big, big drop off that Luis Robert has had is a little bit surprising. And, you know, we're doing a mock draft that we're going to be breaking down the 2021 MLB for a fantasy baseball mock draft for what leagues might look like. I was targeting and I considered Luis Robert regardless of the really, really poor ending to the year. I considered it in my third round and I was really, really hoping I was going to be able to snag him in the fourth. And he went just a couple picks before me. So he, in a 15 team, he was kind of in the fourth, but the fall off of potentially Kyle Lewis taking the award and how deep extensively that has gone, that's been a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny because you kind of have to think about it in context as far as this year goes. Of course, you know, Kyle Lewis has played outstanding the whole year. He's going to win the rookie of the year. It looks kind of easy for that, but for, you know, Luis Robert, if we were playing in a normal 162 game season, this, you know, we're at what, 57 games, 58 games. This would be at the end of May, early June right now for him. So this is kind of the part of the season where some of those rookies start to take a tumble. His start a little bit earlier than this, of course, because it's at the end of this season. But this is kind of the lull you would see him hit before maybe readjusting and picking back up. That's, you know, that's the beauty of a regular MLB season is it's so long, guys hit, you know, peaks and valleys and stuff. So going into next year, you kind of have to decide, all right, you know, are you taking the ceiling price on Luis Robert or are you hedging because he is struggling right now and going to let someone else take him in case that's more of the real Luis Robert. So,
well, he's got a good opportunity in the playoffs, you know.
Yeah,
the playoffs can be, they give him a rest day. Maybe he gets one more before the playoff goes. And then you get into, you know, and this is why for baseball people paying attention more than ever is going to be important for next year's drafts is Luis Robert could go on a tear in the playoffs. It kind of makes moot the stats, but people will still look at those stats that I just think it's interesting. And, you know, I still don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Lewis 100% gets it, but it looks likely. As far as stats go, I mean, Robert going into Thursday's games was hitting 220 with 11 homers and 8 stolen bases. Robert has more stolen bases and more RBIs than Kyle Lewis. They're tied in homers, and Lewis has the edge on runs and average. So It's not a, to me, it's not a foregone conclusion. And I could see a scenario where we're talking about this upset, you know, where everyone's like, Jesus, how did Robert win it? But Kyle Lewis looks like he has it. And that was just something I didn't expect. The other one, Boggs, is it's almost got to be unanimous. Trevor Bauer, Cy Young in the NL. I mean, Shane Bieber will easily walk away with it in the AL, and he's getting, you know, AL MVP votes, as he should be. But, you know, I just didn't see the short season coming of what Trevor Bauer has done, and he is most likely going to walk out with a Cy Young award.
Yeah, yeah, it's unfortunate for guys like us who are not big Trevor Bauer fans at all, because, of course, if you remember your Trevor Bauer history, drafted out of UCLA by the D-backs, was here for a little bit, and really got into fights with the front office about his extended warm-up routine that takes, you know, 3 hours, and fought with Miguel Montero, his catcher, a little bit, famously made a rap song about how dumb Diamondback fans are. So we're not the biggest Trevor Bauer fans out here in Arizona. So, but I got to tell you, you know, oh God, I hate to admit this, but Trevor Bauer endeared himself a little bit over the offseason. He really did. Crushing the Astros for cheating, kind of giving it to Rob Manfred for making some really dumb decisions. So, and just kind of, you know, telling it like it is. And he's also been the guy that says, hey, you know what? If you hit a home run, I'm not going to throw at you. That's stupid. If you celebrate, you should.
One thing I do like is that he called Tim Anderson soft when Anderson hit a homer off of him and he didn't do the bat flip. That was one thing. I mean, we've had the ultimate personality issues of dealing with Trevor Bauer, because he's done so much that I think is likable in that stuff like that. You know, I mean, he's pushing offensive players to, you know, be more celebratory, be celebrating more. Can't say that word. Celebratory.
Celebratory. Yeah, you got
that. I was trying to say celebratory.
That stood out like a ton of bricks, the Welsh. So, yeah.
But then also with the cleats, like, it's something that he's been really adamant about that I completely agree with, is like, let these guys do what they want and let them promote and have fun with the cleats. Like, he had trash cans on his cleats the other day, which I thought was hilarious.
Awesome.
But, you know, he's still like, he's still kind of a dirtbag in a lot of,
he's still the guy that threw the ball over the center field wall and was pouty with Cleveland about his contract.
He won't sign more than a 1-year contract. And he, you know, he did the whole, like, if you date me, you can't speak about me. You can't can't look me in the eyes, whatever, you know, whatever garbage it is.
But no eye contact.
The dude is a 1.73 ERA and a 0.79 whip on the year. He's topped 100 strikeouts. He's going to win the Cy Young Award. So, you know, had you asked me in the first 3 weeks of the season, if you had said, hey, Trevor Bauer is going to be the Cy Young Award winner and Luis Robert will not win the AL Rookie of the Year, I wouldn't have believed you. And also, Gavin Lux isn't even involved in the NL, so I really wouldn't have believed any of the Rookie of the Year awards.
Bauer just got them into playoff position with a win the other day. So, you know, got to give it to him.
Yeah, it's weird baseball season, but luckily there's more to come. Don't go anywhere. More in this league to come as well. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
We're back. Bogman, Welsh, and you. Thank you for tuning in on whether it's Sports Grid, the Mighty 1090 podcast, whatever it is. There's a multitude of different places and different ways that you can listen to us. And we appreciate all of those that you do. We were talking about like the awards in baseball and stuff like that. And looking at the postseason, do you think, when do they usually announce the awards? Because I'm one thing I'm trying to calculate in is I wonder if they're going to be later than usual and the playoffs might end up playing a little bit of a role in those. You know,
no, they don't. Because I think they have to have the votes in before the postseason. and then they announce it after the postseason is over. Remember, the I feel like the awards always happen in like November, which is weird. You know, it's like, okay, let's give away all of these awards in the offseason when no baseball is happening. And like, you know, Arizona Fall League's happening, stuff like that. But
was not now.
Well, yeah, it isn't anymore. You know, in a regular season, it would be. But yeah, it's very strange how they do the awards, all the awards, you know, like the MVP awards. I feel like it's strange that they come out after or during the playoffs for basketball. Of course, the basketball playoffs are always like, you know, 3 months long, it seems like, because they have too many teams. But, you know,
can you imagine the NBA was going up against. I was listening to a podcast you and I listened to. And
I heard it.
Yeah, where they were just like, was there a game on Sunday? And I totally agreed. Like, it's just it's hard any day that there's football on. I can't even process that basketball's gone on. Though I will tell you, as much as I've dove back in with sports, basketball's been the one that hasn't grabbed me back. And, you know, I mean, we started in basketball. That's what we did. And we've, you know, done the fantasy basketball podcast since 2014. And basketball's the one that just didn't pull me back in, even though uniquely they were the most set. You know, they had the bubble. They looked different.
It's been the most fun. Yeah, it's been the most fun because of the bubble, right? And all of the, you know, the goofy stories coming out of the bubble. Like, you know, was it Westy getting in a fight with who was it? I think J.R. Smith's brother or someone in the bubble when they started letting families in. You know, during the playoff game against the Lakers, we had Lemon Pepper Lou, you know, all that stuff. But this might be the way it is moving forward a little bit. I think you want to end the season before you get to the NFL season, if you're the NBA, of course. But, you know, Adam Silver talked about how he wants to start the season. He said his best guess for when the 2020-2021 season would start would be no 2020 at all. He said sometime in January.
So, yeah, they said that. I mean, I think that's what they should stick with long term. You know, they should take January as a start. They'll give themselves 3 months of no interruption with MLB. They don't cross over with NFL whatsoever. It's the best thing that they could possibly do for themselves. Now, my question is, do you think that an MLB bubble will have some of the same fun factor, or I feel like it's going to lose it because I don't know. They're not going to do anything different. Like, maybe they'll prepare if it's like the same stadiums you use where every single seat will have a cutout and, you know, I don't know, maybe there'll be fans there. Like, they'll do some stuff, but I just don't think where basketball benefited from, they almost turned the real NBA into like NBA 2K, you know, it looked the weird screens and stuff like that. I just don't know. Is there going to be any bubble benefit for baseball, or, you know, and there's so many damn teams involved too, that the oversaturation is what gets people sometimes. Will people be dying for more baseball because they only got 60 games? Will the bubble help, or is it all just going to get drowned out by football? I mean, the best thing they have for them is they can play during the week when football's not going on.
Yeah, I don't expect there to be a big buzz about the bubble. I think it's going to be weird. I think the weirdest thing about the whole offseason or the whole postseason here for baseball is going to be having these playoff games not at home ballparks when you played your regular season at home ballparks. And trust me, I understand. Like, you just don't want anything to go wrong so that you're pushing back, you know, playoff games. So I understand why the bubble's necessary and why they're doing it. I get it. It's just going to be really strange to see, you know, the Cardinals playing their playoff games in Texas Stadium with no fans. You know, that's going to just look weird.
Texas not going to have fans? I mean,
Didn't the Cowboys have fans
in their stadium?
They did. But I think it's an MLB policy, not a stadium policy.
But they might change the playoff.
I think they will for
overall.
I think they're 100% going to do it for the World Series. I think they just want fans, regardless of where the stadium is. You know, fans in there for the World Series, and that's in Texas. So
I just assume the bubble is also not just because of the players, but I feel like it's also a plan for fans, you know, because they have a lot more control if they keep it in centrally located spots, where they can cherry pick and try to get fans in there as well. I feel like that played a role in some of the decision-making.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're you know, if your stadiums are in California, California just not letting people do anything yet. So, you know,
well, they are going to, but they are going to do some in California, right? It's going
to
be,
the playoffs are in San Diego and LA for the AL. So the AL teams are going to the NL parks and the NL teams are going to the AL parks. That's kind of the bit that they're doing for the playoffs this year. So, you know, I don't know. California is not letting people into stadiums as of yet. We're still not even sure. Like the Pac-12 has some hoops to jump to be able to play college football in the state of California right now that they're trying to work through, you know, because we saw the Big Ten is coming back and potentially the Mountain West and the MAC are trying to make some attempts to get back for college football too. But, you know, the California teams are going through it right now. So I'm not sure if they're going to be able to go through and get that. So it doesn't seem like there'll be fans in the stands for the first, you know, round or two for the baseball playoffs in California. But if we do get to that point where they're letting at least limited capacity, it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, the Yankees and Dodger Stadium, you know, playing a playoff game with all those yellow seats that you're used to, you know, watching the Dodgers play in. And the Dodgers play a home game in, you know, in Texas. That's going to be very strange. So it's going to look weird. It's, I hope they let fans in though. I mean, not that it makes that big a difference, but I do like it. And it's way better. The bit that I hate the most, the Welsh, is the fake fans that Fox does. Did you see that one, the Lions game with all those fake fans?
It's no, terrible. I didn't, but it's literally the worst decision they've made. It's distracting. And like, it's so like, we know what's going on. We know what's going on in the world.
Let's remember it for what it is too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that I don't want anyone in the stands or anything, but if you're going to have people in the stands, they're going to be parsed out. Don't put fake fans in there. Just let them be parsed out.
They're not that important. Believe me, they're not exactly that important. Over on the standings, looking over at the AL real quick, the AL, as much as there are only six of the eight teams are clinched, it's kind of set. I think the big oddity is this. It's the AL West, because Houston, who is currently in six, they're above Cleveland, who's clinched, but it's a divisional thing. The weird part about it is that the Angels in Seattle, as you're listening to this, it might be solidified because we are recording this a little bit beforehand. What I'm getting at is, like, as much as there, it isn't solidified, to me, it is. You know, LA is tapering down, Seattle's tapering down. Those are the only two that could alter this with Houston. But I believe one more win in Houston, as you might be hearing this, it's already set. It's locked in. So it looks like it's going to be Tampa, Oakland, Minnesota, Chicago. You got the Yankees, Houston, Cleveland, and Toronto. That looks pretty, pretty good. On the NL, it's not the same. You have four clinch teams, the Dodgers, the Braves, the Cubs, and the Padres. You've got the Cardinals, Miami, San Francisco, and Cincy currently in, but you've got Philly, who's one game. Again, these are going into Thursday's results, so this may vary. Philly is right there within one game. Milwaukee's within two. And then you've got the Mets, who are a little bit further away. So this is really a race of Philly and Milwaukee, who could eliminate both San Francisco and Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm looking at the bracket that they have here as it stands right now. 1-8 would be Dodgers versus the Reds right now. These are some good matchups. Marlins, Cubs, Braves, Giants, Padres, Cardinals would be a lot of fun. Yankees would be playing the White Sox right now to start this series off. Tampa Bay and Toronto, Houston and Minnesota is a great series to begin with, and Cleveland and Oakland. That's funny? A lot of fun, man.
What's funny about what you said, all the AL series I look at and I'm like, wow, I don't care about a single NL series in the first round, not a single one. Now the second round could be amazing, because you could have Dodgers versus Padres, and then you could have Cubs versus Braves. You know, I'm not trying to be mean to Marlins fans, but like, I don't need to see the Marlins or the Giants move on. So the second round has a lot of potential, but the first round of the NL is just trash to me of games, which might hurt them a little bit, but boy, the AL, every single game is awesome to watch.
You know that the Marlins have never made the postseason and not won a World Series. The two times they made the postseason, they won it all. So they've got histories on their side.
It'd be the most 2020 thing for the Marlins to be the one in all of this to move on.
Right.
Without a single doubt in my mind, that would be the move for them to move on. So
yeah, if the Marlins win the World Series, you might as well just give the Browns a Super Bowl trophy, right? I mean, come on. This is ridiculous.
I still don't I don't 100% understand the logic of why, like, you wouldn't have had the actual West Coast teams play in San Diego and then the East Coast could just go to Texas and to Arlington.
I think it's because they don't want to give, like, the Dodgers are going to make it. So, like, they don't want to give the Dodgers actual real home field advantage versus the other teams that don't get it. So. Yeah,
that's actually a really good point. They do eliminate by doing that. All right, well, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're probably going to make the transition over to some football talk. And then in hour two, we're going to be doing some DFS lineups with FanDuel, and we're going to take a look at our bets and our pick'ems. So don't go anywhere in this league. Coming back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talk about www.com. Me, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
It's In This League with Bogman and the Welsh right here on the Mightier 1090 AM in San Diego. And, of course, on Sports Grid, most likely in your ears on a podcast as well. Wherever podcasts are, that's where In This League is. And all of our other shows, not just the radio show, the three-hour edition that we got here. We've got the ITL Fantasy Baseball Show, the ITL Fantasy Basketball, Football, College, Prospects. It's just a bunch of stuff. Everything I need a break from, which is coming. We're going to have a little week break from Prospect 1. Coming next week, not this week. I've actually got James Anderson from RotoWire coming on. And then we are dipping down to one episode a week for the playoffs, which is the first time we've ever stuck around for the baseball playoffs on the ITL show. But that's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, normally this would be kind of prep time for fantasy basketball. We might fire up that show like middle of October, late October-ish kind of stuff. But since we just talked about it with Adam Silver saying that the season probably isn't going to start until January, we have some time to wait till we get to basketball. So
I hope that basketball commits to like full-time changing their schedule. I think it's the best possible thing. I hope baseball gets out of their own way and commits to the DH in both divisions. I think that's the best thing that they could be doing. I just hope they take some of the standards of things that have happened, because there's so many things that they will take on the bad that is going to reverberate through sports for a long time. Baseball is already showing.
Are you okay with the expanded playoffs for baseball, or would you like to go back to normal for that?
Fine. I'm not a purist person. Yeah, like the purists want like two teams. They want like two AL, two NL. That's all they want. I'm fine with it. It doesn't really bother me.
There are college football people that are mad that there is a playoff, that there's four teams that have a playoff and play. Sure. And I'm like,
they want the computer to decide.
Yeah, that's what I hate. Like, I get it if you don't want it to be 8 or you don't want it to be 16 or whatever. Like, I think it should be 32, but I'm a psycho. But I get that if you don't want it to be expanded. But how can you not like actually settling that on the field? Yeah. Like, it's just ridiculous to me. You really want the BCS standings to decide? You want a computer to make your choice for who's the national champion? That's ridiculous.
The only thing that I don't like is I don't like the massive change to how much we play. That pisses me off. So like if baseball were to be like, yeah, now we play this amount of games, or football goes, now we play 18. I don't want that, because I think it creates such a garbage. It really just dilutes all of the greatness that has happened in the NFL, and the stats just mean less. And like, I know there's so many people that don't care about stats, but like I do, and I care about, you know, I like talking about like who has the most home runs, who, you know, Jerry Rice is, you know, that's a perfect example I could give. Jerry Rice is, you know, my favorite athlete of all time, my freaking idol, man. And he has maybe one of the most dominant strangleholds on a position in any sports in history. I mean, you could argue Wayne Gretzky in hockey. I'm trying to think.
I'm sure there's not
in basketball.
Yeah, it's Gretzky and Rice, and that's far and
maybe away. Chamberlain, like what Chamberlain did in his era, Babe Ruth in his era, that type of stuff. But like Jerry Rice is so prominent in our lifetime, and he is he's not only owned practically every receiving record, he's demolished them. If you go to 18 games, then this is just me though. It's like, well, who the hell cares about the season receiving? Why even talk about it? We shouldn't talk about it for 20 years and let things just standardize. So that's the only thing that gets me kind of like and riled up. Everything else, you want to expand the playoffs? Go ahead. You want to put DHs in there? Okay, go ahead. Just give me my game and that's it. Give me my game and keep it relatively standard, at least to the same practices we've had, in my lifetime. That's all that I want, but make it better. I just hope that sports doesn't, because like I was saying, Boggs, baseball, you know, they're just demolishing the minor leagues and they're cutting deals with independent leagues and they're making all these changes and they're going to lower the draft. And it's a lot of negative stuff and scouts are getting cut left and right. That's a really bad negative change. So I hope they also view in what has happened over the last 6 months, they view the changes they've made as a positive, the good ones, and they hold through. Basketball can do it, I think. Baseball can do it. And I don't even necessarily care if they decided to do the bubbles. I think that would piss people off long-term because then you've essentially become like college basketball playoffs where the tournament's not. Yeah, they can't do that. So, but even then, I wouldn't care. Even then,
They can do it next year. Like, basketball is going to have an issue, I think, moving forward. Unless unless your players are like how the NFL has been doing it, where you're testing every single day, you're at practice every single day getting tested. And, no players this week popped for COVID. Out of all the players and staff and everything, that's nuts to me. And some people are trying to say that the NFL is China. You know what I mean? They're like, no. We don't have any. Yeah, just completely faking it and saying, this is not. We don't have anything. We're fine. We're all great. What are you guys talking about? You know, but I get it because there's been none. But I think they just like when this stuff started happening, they just hit up the players real hard and they said, we are not going to you are not going to make us look like a fool. And so if you get COVID, it's going to be some exorbitant fine and all of this stuff and. Which they can't really do. I don't know. I don't know what they did, but whatever they're doing it's working. Apparently, unless they are fudging the numbers like China. So, it looks good right now. So, but it's so difficult in basketball because we saw, Rudy Gobert had it after making fun of it. And he was the big catalyst to the whole NBA shutting down because, they played Detroit and then Detroit played somebody the next night and it went from Rudy Gobert has it and Donovan Mitchell has it to, 20% of the NBA has it because, they're sweating and banging up against each other and stuff for the entire game. So it's just easy to spread that way. So I know Adam Silver's, I know what he wants to do. His idea is stadiums in front of fans next year. That's what he wants. I just don't know if it's a doable thing for the NBA.
Well, I mean, I think
Al House bringing in COVID testers into his room and, Lou Williams going to get wings at a strip club and all this stuff in a bubble. Like when you already have issues in a bubble, I just don't know how feasible it is. So,
yeah, maybe. It's a bigger question that we can't even answer right now. I mean, I think maybe one of the biggest positives that you could look at is that I feel like football has been relatively unscathed. I do think that no preseason has been a little bit harmful. And I think week two was a little representative of that. That the game has necessarily slowed down a whole bunch, but there's been some safety precautions, but football has been relatively unscathed and that works well for the long term. The two things though, speaking of unscathed though, I want to talk about the Tyrod Taylor stuff, but you just told me about this, which is wild. And we both were kind of like, what was this Darius Leonard thing that happened? Because you said it and I was like, well, that couldn't have been this year because no one's around each other, right?
Yeah, I guess after the game on Sunday, the Colts won. They beat Minnesota. I had Minnesota as an upset and obviously got that one wrong. But they won, and Darius Leonard gave his gloves to a young fan, just a kid sitting in the first row or whatever. And when he took his gloves off, he didn't realize his wedding ring slipped into his gloves. So
why was he wearing his wedding ring?
Dude, I think that's dumb. I know that Andy Dalton, like, and I remember this from Hard Knocks. The guy's giving him a bunch of crap. He wore his wedding ring all the time. Like, he's one of those I'll never take it off people. But when he's playing a game or practicing, he puts on the rubber one. Like, he takes the metal one off and puts a rubber one on so it doesn't get caught on someone's helmet or whatever happens. You know what I mean? You don't want that ring avulsion that happened to, you know, like Jimmy Fallon had that. So where he gets caught on something and then the whole, like the skin and everything tears off and it's just, you just left with your bone sticking there. So that's ring avulsion. So I don't know why he would be wearing it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I knew it would upset you. That's why I said it. So I don't know why he's wearing his ring on the field, but he was wearing it, gave his gloves to a fan, which you and I were both like, is that something you should be doing?
So you said that. I was like, wait, like, I mean, I'm all for that, you know, because I love that type of stuff. And I would hate for that.
Right, in a normal year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in a normal year, like I would hate for
to a young kid every single time, you know, that.
Yeah. Like interaction between fans and athletes, if that goes away, that'll be like one of the worst catalysts that could have happened from all of this. But like, I was like, wait, what? He took off his glove and their fans there and he gave it up. What? The whole thing is weird. Why was your ring on under your glove? Dude, I mean, there's a couple of reasons. I don't wear my ring. I've been married for November, like 12 years or something like that. The main reason is my finger is too fat for it right now and it won't fit. The secondary reason is I have like a small allergy to like metal. Some metals like bother my finger, but then also I just don't like jewelry. You know, yeah. I'm not Chris Angel where I'm like rings and stuff like that, but I get like wearing it all the time. And some people do like the little, like the bands and just like little plastic rubber band. Why were you wearing wear a rubber one under your glove? And he gave it to a fan. The whole thing is, it's not as weird as the team doctor stabbing repeatedly Tyrod Taylor. Like,
yeah, what the hell?
Like a murderer. He's like, did you also, I didn't know that they could do this. You know, the Chargers hid that he broke his ribs, that Tyrod Taylor broke a rib in week one. That's why the doctor was stabbing him with a needle that then has punctured his lung and he's out forever. Every day there's a new piece to the story of Tyrod Taylor. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, well, first of all, no one knew he had this chest injury, right? So like you said, they hit it. It happened, I guess, late in the week or something, but I've never had a cortisone shot. Have you had a cortisone shot?
No. Nope.
Okay. So what I've been told, because one of the guys I used to work with, he had him for his shoulder all the time. Well, what they do is they stick the needle deep in there.
No. And
it's like Novocaine, you know, it numbs the whatever Novocaine is painful. So, but that's what cortisone, that's what it is. It numbs. So, but they have stick the needle in and then they do have to move it around and then they go, is this where it hurts? And you go, yep. And then they, you know, they hit the plunger so that the cortisone goes to the right spot to numb what is ailing you. So I think that's what happened is they plunged that knife in and they were moving or that needle in, they're moving it around to see, okay, is this the rib that hurts? Yes, it is. All right. Then they hit the plunger, the cortisone goes in, that type of stuff. So, my cousin has had back stuff his whole life too. He has to go and get a cortisone shot like once every
year. Has he ever been stabbed by a doctor and punctured his lung?
No, never punctured his lung. So, I mean, I did love all of the Pulp Fiction gifts that were happening after, after this whole thing with the, the Mia, whatever her name is, Mia Farrow. Is Khalifa? That her name?
Oh,
Wiz Khalifa, Mia Khalifa. I don't know. But, all the Uma Thurman, Pulp Fiction gifts of this doctor were pretty fantastic. But yeah, man, that sucks. And they're saying, you know, this is the funny thing is I can't imagine that is still affecting him, but they're like, oh no, it's still affecting him for sure. So we're going to start Justin Herbert again. You mean it wasn't because Justin Herbert almost went out there and beat the Chiefs?
I've got a punctured lung and a broken rib. The guy's beat up. Of course he's affected right now.
Yeah, I don't know, though. Like, a lot of guys will play, a lot of quarterbacks specifically, especially guys that are fighting for their
shaming?
Job.
Are you injury shaming him?
No, I'm not. It's not his fault at all. I think it's on the coaching staff. Is they're saying he's hurt, when I bet you if you ask Tyrod Taylor, he'd probably be like, I'll wear a flak jacket and I'll be good to go. So,
yeah. I mean, probably he's like, because he knows the job is a little bit of a question. Yeah. All right. Well, don't go anywhere. We're coming back. A little bit more football. On the other side of the hour, though, we are going to kick off with our FanDuel lineups. We're going to go through our pick'ems, the wins, the losses, and what we got for week three. So more in this league coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back, friendos. We are ending out hour one. For some reason I wanted to say two. Hour one ending out here. It's Bogman. It's the Welsh. We are in this league. Bogman, this isn't a sports-related thing, and we've only got 2 minutes here, but are you, like, a little bit sad when you saw the announcement that there will be no Marvel movies in 2020? But what it really was a bigger story of how movies have been decimated for this year. Like, because I was talking to my wife about blah, 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 you know, like, oh, I can pick out a movie. She's like, any new movies out? And I'm like, no, there's nothing. Tenet's out, but I can't find a theater. I don't know where a theater is, and I don't really want to go, but I want to see Tenet. Movies still refuse to do on demand because they're fighting with everyone's fighting. There's no movies. There's really no good content. Everything's getting pushed. Even the places, if Marvel wanted, give us the Winter Soldier and the Falcon, they give us more content. There just isn't enough out there. So I found myself going back and just watching whatever I can, watching Doom Patrol right now on HBO Max. And I've been watching, like, Fargo. So that's good, but it's also, I don't know, like, as a person that likes to consume a lot of entertainment, it's all been taken away. There's nothing.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually okay rewatching some stuff. So I don't mind.
It's
I know
your
some
favorite thing to do on the planet.
Some people hate it. Well, it's not my favorite. I do want new content. I'd love to be going. I mean, you know, I go see a bunch of movies. So,
but you've also admitted to me, you literally give nobody your undivided attention. Like, you only, I was like, hey, why don't you just watch on your phone? You can watch or watch on your computer. You can watch whatever I was telling you to go. And you're like, I like to do stuff. Like, you don't like to pay attention. You like it in the background to kind of go back and forth.
I will give it my full attention. And it's something that I'm into. I have to be, it's new and I'm into it. I'll give it my full attention. But
so it's like dating with you. You give them all the, you give them a different Bogman for the first couple and then you're out.
It's Tinder. So but the watching stuff, I'm never not doing something on my computer. There's never nothing to do as far as our job goes. There's always something to prep for, something to get ready for, something to adjust, all of that stuff. So that's why it's probably why I do like rewatching stuff. But yeah, I mean, I'm okay with doing it, so I don't hurt that there's no new Marvel movies. I'll be okay.
But there is new content at InThisLeague.com on our Patreon, so sign up today. When you don't get those new movies, you can get some more Bogman of the Welsh. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.